to Full Press Coverage Jets Podcast. I am Michael Palace. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at MPalaceFPC. You can also watch the live stream, Full Press Coverage Jets Live, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on Sportscaster. It's also available after the show is over, but it's live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. And I'm going to try to bring you daily content here between this and the live stream every day. On this podcast, I'm going to fly solo, have guests. We're going to have injury experts, fantasy football experts, Jets experts, anything you, and fan interaction. You can interact with me on Twitter. I will answer your questions on the podcast. You can interact with the guests, the guest experts. You can answer, ask any question you want of the Jets, fantasy football, injury experts, anything you want answered. I will get on the podcast from the experts. I will answer anything you want from my opinions. And you can do whatever you can just be interactive on social media, and I will get the answers to you in the best possible format Sunday through Tuesday and Thursday through Saturday here on the podcast. And of course, Wednesday is the live stream. But today we're kicking it off with me. And the first thing I want to do is talk about the Draft Network. The Draft Network is a great place to go for your draft coverage. And today, which is Monday, April 6th, they had their Mock Madness tournament, so to speak, up on Twitter. And their eight writers each did a mock draft. They put them into a tournament, and the fans voted on them. The most interesting thing about that draft from a Jets the mock drafts from a Jets perspective was three out of the eight guys had the Jets trading the number 11 pick up. Not trading it down because all four offensive tackles were gone. Trading up to make sure they got one. And when I first saw it, I was like, this is completely insane. And then I saw it again by another writer. And then I saw it a third time. And I'm like, I said to myself, can I get on board with this? Can I really get on board with the Jets trading draft picks away to move up and having fewer draft picks? Now, the argument obviously is you need as many picks as you can because the draft is a crapshoot. But I understand it's a crapshoot, but I actually like the idea of trading up to make sure they get the player they want. Sure, the idea is to have as many picks as you can because quantity over quality. But there were three guys. Let's go in reverse order of what the Jets had to give up. Rob Judon is the guy who gave up the most to get the number 7 overall pick. The Panthers got the Jets' 11th pick, their 79th pick, their 211th pick, and a third-round pick next year, which means next year they would already be down to 6 picks. It's a little bit too much. I can understand giving up 2 or 3 picks, but I like the idea of going up, and also like the idea of making sure it's a way for Carolina to make sure they'll take the deal. But I'm not totally sold on that. That may be a little bit too much. The one in the middle, Jordan Reed, gave up 3 picks. The 11th, the 68th, and the 211th. Now, he probably had to give up the 68th because he didn't give up the 79th. And Judon probably had to give up the 2021 third round pick because he dropped 11 picks in the third round from 68 to 79 and what they're giving up. Reed was an okay tit for tat here, but the best one was Joe Marino, who gave up the 11th and the 120th to move up four spots. All of them had them taking an offensive tackle. It doesn't matter which one it is. I like Mekhi Becton. Mekhi Becton would probably be available, will be available at 7. And if he's available, that's the player the Jets should take. He's got the biggest upside in this draft. Sure, he has the lowest ceiling, and it's the biggest risk because it's the highest ceiling and the lowest floor. So he's got the biggest gap in terms of what he can become. But what he can become is great. All of them can become great. But Mekhi Becton, for me, is the moldable piece of clay for the Jets to work with and have their left tackle of the future. The problem with Jedrick Wills is he's a right tackle. And he might, and Tristan Wirfs is the best left tackle in this draft, but he's probably not going to last to 7. So I think the best possible option would be trade up to 7, maybe give up only 2 picks. Because remember, you're moving up 4 spots. It's not a huge jump from 11 to 7. You're moving into the top 10, though. So you're going to have to give up something. Jordan Reed's 1168 to 11 is probably the most realistic one of the three. Marinos is the best. Juden gives up too much. Reed is probably the most realistic. So, and I kind of like the idea of moving up unlike when I first saw it. And I thought, no way would I even consider trading up. And then I saw all three trades and I'm like, okay, I'll think about it. And then I thought about it, and I'm like, I kind of like the idea of trading up. Because you traded up to get Sam Darnold, and I understand, oh, he's a quarterback, so you have to trade up to get him if he's available. And you have to trade up for the quarterback, because he's a quarterback. But guess what? The left tackle also protects the quarterback. The left tackle is the second most important position on the offense. It goes quarterback, left tackle, wide receiver. Those are the top three important positions of the 11 on offense. Quarterback, left tackle, wide receiver. If you can get a left tackle and you can trade up to get him, trade up to get him. It's not as valuable as a quarterback, because when you trade up to get a quarterback, you not only have to trade your valuable picks, but the value of the quarterback adds more picks. The value of the left tackle doesn't add more picks. It's just whatever picks the teams can negotiate and the other team traded partner values your pick at. Now, there is a trade value chart that general managers use to evaluate draft trades, but it's not always used. And to be honest, it might be a little outdated, a little bit. So it's just up to the two teams, and it's up to the trading partner to decide what the value of your pick actually is. And when they do that, the left tackle is not going to be added value. And then the Jets may be able to get their left tackle of the future by trading up. At 11, all 4 could be gone. At 7, now you're locked in at 7, and you're guaranteed to get one. 11, there's a risk at staying 11. There's a risk at trading up, and maybe your left tackle is a bust. But I think the risk-reward here, when it comes to having a bust at number 7 versus not getting a left tackle at all at number 11, I think it's worth trading up and potentially having a bust over potentially missing out on a left tackle. Some people will say, and have told me in private conversations, that wide receiver is more important than left tackle because offensive, you can win with an average offensive line. The problem is the Jets don't have an average offensive line right now. They have a below average offensive line. They have a below average offensive line, a good quarterback, and a below average receiving core. So guess what? Guess what you have to work on first? The line. Because the line protects the quarterback. Sure, if the wide receivers can get open, if you have a great wide receiver and they can get open, it's good to have a receiver that can get open. But even if they can get open, if your quarterback has no time, it doesn't matter if they can get open because he won't have the time. And then you end up, then Sam Darnold is end up scrambling for his life. So even though wide receiver is important and you need a Jerry Jeudy type guy, some people will say you need a Jerry Jeudy type guy who can get open all the time, but you'd also need a line to protect your quarterback. And sure, sometimes you can use wide receivers to mask the deficiencies of the line. The problem is, even if you have a great receiver who can frequently get open and frequently mask the problems with the offensive line, it's not enough. I would rather have a receiver who the quarterback can lead and get open, and the quarterback can find a spot, maybe not get all the yak yards, then hope that a receiver can mask the deficiencies of the line. Because it's better to have an average offensive line and an above average receiving core than it is to have a great receiver and a subpar offensive line and hope the receiver can mask the deficiencies in the line. So, one of the major problems with the Jets when it comes to their drafts recently isn't just the busts or the supposed busts when it comes to guys like Leonard Williams, and some people are calling Quinnen Williams a bust already after a rookie season, which is ridiculous, but we're not going to get into that. It's not just about missing on the first round targets. It's about missing on day 2 and day 3, because you build your foundation in the middle of the draft. Your key foundational piece should be your number one pick, if you have a first round pick. But your foundation, your rocks, your long-term answers can be found in the second, third, fourth, fifth rounds. And I understand I just said I would be willing to trade up and trade draft assets, but the Jets have enough middle round picks to build foundational pieces and trade one of them if one is enough. And they have 2 6th round picks at the end of the draft. So if you had to give up one of the thirds and one of the sixth to move up to 7, sure, that's fine. So now you only have 1 3rd round pick and 1 6th round pick. But the foundations are built. You have foundational pieces on day 2, and then you have depth pieces on day 3, and sometimes you find sleepers in the draft. And the most important thing about the draft is, one of the most important things, is finding a sleeper. And what I'm going to do is on this podcast, is give you a sleeper, maybe two, that I believe the Jets could get late in the draft at any position of need, whether it's interior offensive line, maybe offensive tackle if I have to go there, wide receiver. But today, I'm going to talk corner, because a lot of people want the Jets to take a corner on day two. But there's going to be a sleeper out there on day three from Georgia Southern. His name is Kendall Vildor. Now, we talked about him on my live stream last week. Now, I did a lot. I did more research on him because I hadn't done any on him before the live stream. And I read some scouting reports. I watched some highlights of him. And after watching the good stuff, at least, that I saw, and reading the other reports on Vildor, he is definitely a day three pick, but he is a perfect fit for Greg Williams' defense. Greg Williams and the Jets had the fourth highest blitz rate in the National Football League last year. They had the fourth highest blitz rate in the NFL. Think about that for a minute. A team that had no valid corners that we thought of at the beginning of the season, that could play man-to-man defense, had the fourth highest blitz rate in the NFL at 36.2%. If you had a guy who could cover man-to-man, imagine what this Jets defense could do with a returning C.J. Mosley and a potential edge rusher. Or even just Jordan Jenkins, who's not a top-notch edge rusher, but a solid one. Imagine if you had a corner who could play man-to-man. And that's Kendall Vildor. Kendall Vildor is a good man-to-man coverage corner. He lacks a little bit in zone. He plays a little bit handsy, but he makes plays on the football. He can keep up with the receivers. He ran a 4.440 at the combine, so you know he can keep up with the fast guys. And even if he doesn't keep up with the fast guys, he has good recovery speed. So it's not just about staying with your man. It's about coverage. And in a blitz-heavy defense, which Greg Williams would love to be able to do with the Jets, 36.2% is not where Greg Williams wants to be. He wants to be in the mid-40s. He'd love to have the Jets to have the number one blitz rate. He'd love to have 5-6 guys and put all of his defenders on islands. But that's not going to happen with this Jets defense. But you could put Kendall Vildor on an island and play him man-to-man. He's not great in zone, but he's good in man-to-man. He can stay with his receivers. He's a little bit too flashy for my taste. A little bit too flashy from what I saw. He loves to make the splash plays, and that's good, but he's going to get beat a lot in the NFL when he's looking for the splash plays, especially if he allows a receiver to catch the football and he's looking for the big hit. The receivers in the NFL will avoid it. Will avoid the tackle. And the problem with Kendall Vildor is one of the major issues is FCS. He played in the lower division of Division One, and even though he had some good games against FBS opponents, most of his opponents were FCS opponents. And the problem is that's the lower tier of Division One. And when you look at the lower tier of Division One, it's not the greatest competition in the world. And that's a slight problem, but really, when he showed up at the Senior Bowl, he showed up at the Senior Bowl. So could he have played Division One football and FBS football? Yes, possibly. Don't know 100%. Can't say 100%, but I'm pretty confident in saying if he had been awarded a scholarship somewhere in the FBS, he would have been able to compete. So he might not have gone from a sixth-round pick to a first-round pick, but you're looking at a guy who could have, if he was at an FBS school, potentially been a third-round pick. But now you're going to get him in the sixth round. Most likely he's going to fall to the sixth round. And when he does, when he falls to the sixth round, the Jets should swoop him up immediately. And when they do, or if they do, if he falls and they give it to him and they finally have a shot at the man-to-man coverage corner that Greg Williams wants, and he gets to work with the Jets coaches on fixing his issues, the Jets could finally have that late-round guy sleeper that fans have craved. Now, we talked about the Jets trading up. There's also a potential that all four offensive tackles are gone by the number 11 pick if they stay at number 11. So, what should the Jets do in the worst case scenario? Now, for many Jets fans, the worst case scenario would be Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb go in the top 10, and all four offensive tackles are gone, and nobody wants to trade with the Jets to trade down. Because honestly, the edge rushers in this class are meh outside of Chase Young, and the corners are okay, but they're not worth the 11th overall pick. Sure, Henry Ruggs is a great option. Here, the three guys that would go if both Lamb and Jeudy are gone, and all four offensive tackles are gone, and the Jets can't find a trading partner who wants to trade up to number 11. That would be Henry Ruggs, Kalavon Chaisson, and CJ Henderson. Possibly Jeff Okuda, but he's probably not going to last out of the top 10. And then Kristen Fulton will be there. Don't need a safety. But if all four offensive tackles are gone, Jerry Jeudy and CeeDee Lamb are gone, and the Jets cannot find a partner who wants to trade up, the best pick is probably CJ Henderson. Because the Jets need a corner. And even though it would be great to pick mostly offense early, the best option would be to get the guy who can cover. Because Chaisson has too many flaws for the 11th overall pick. So for me, the worst case scenario, that is the worst case scenario. Lamb and Jeudy are gone. All four offensive tackles are gone. And the Jets can't find a partner that wants to trade down. In that case, it's probably CJ Henderson, which is a little bit of a reach. And that would be the worst possible thing for the Jets in this draft. The last thing I want to talk about is the thing that was made official at the time before I started recording this podcast. And that was the virtual draft by the NFL. The NFL made it official that all 32 teams will be drafting remotely, and their war rooms will not allowed to be together. So they'll be chatting remotely. There is one thing that the NFL must do somehow, some way, and that is have every single individual war room chat or whatever or teleconference, however they're going to do the virtual war, the war rooms, on camera somehow. That's the one thing the NFL has to do to make this television worthy. And that's have all 32 teams streaming their war rooms live. Whether it's one guy on camera and you can hear the conversation, but whether it's one guy on camera controlling the conversation and you're having all the conversations on together, just audio, or having the entire war room streamed together on one stream, like on a Restream account, where you have everybody together and streaming to multiple platforms, whether it's YouTube or Sportscaster, which I do a live stream on, or Facebook Live, or Periscope. Every single individual team's war room has to have their own war room broadcast. So that means 32 broadcasts. So when it's that team's turn to pick, you can find the war room on the internet and listen in to what they're saying, because that's the best thing at this point. That would be the most entertaining possible thing the NFL could do with this draft, since it's not going to be on location. It's have everybody be able to watch every single team make their decisions. That is the show for today. I will be back on the live stream on tomorrow for to talk more sleeper talk from the Jets. We're going to even talk about the trading up scenario. So be sure to tune in and watch the live stream tomorrow. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at @mpalacefpc. You can also follow the coverage of the Jets on Twitter at @FullPressJets. All one word, Full Press Jets, one word. I will be back on Thursday with more opinions. Have a great couple of days, everyone.